Welcome to Fellowship Talks, your weekly connection to the life and ministry of Fellowship Bible Church. It is our desire that this podcast will reinforce your worship on Sundays and encourage you as you live your life for Christ this week. Here are your hosts, Dan Schaefer and Amy Scrivanos.
Well, welcome to Fellowship Talks. I'm your host, Dan Schaefer. I'm sitting here with my co-host, Amy Scrivanos. Amy.
Hey, everyone.
And just to let everybody know, again, that Fellowship Talks comes from Fellowship Bible Church. This is the podcast of Fellowship Bible Church for the people of Fellowship Bible Church. And we are one church in multiple locations: Cabot, Benton, West Little Rock, Midtown, and Espanol. And we are glad that you are with us today. Amy, we have some breaking news to let everyone know about today. And actually, it shouldn't be breaking news, but let's play the breaking news music. Dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun. Is that how it goes? I don't know. Breaking news music. And actually, while we're on that topic of breaking news, Amy, I'm a little annoyed with news media outlets that say breaking news all the time.
Really?
Have you ever noticed that?
I don't watch the news.
I don't watch regular news, but I keep up with like ESPN and Bleacher Report.
Yes.
And like every time an athlete cuts their toenail, there's breaking news to let them know about this. And so while we have been letting all of our church know about Vision Sunday for a few months now,
yes,
it's breaking news because this is like the first time we're talking about it on Fellowship Talks.
That's right. Yes.
So Vision Sunday is this coming Sunday. If you're listening to this podcast, you want to be ready for Vision Sunday. What's Vision Sunday all about this year?
Yeah, so Vision Sunday is always a great time of year where we just stop and we look at what the Lord has done through our church in the last year, and we look ahead to what's in the future, and just not that we can see the future, but that, you know, what we're hoping to see God do, the things that we're dreaming about, and we share that with the body, and it's just really a neat family time to come together and talk about those things.
That's right. So that happens this Sunday. And so it's going to start in the morning for our regular worship at 9 and 11 across our venues and campuses.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to continue that on throughout the day by having an event that we call Leader Launch at 4 o'clock on the West Little Rock campus.
That's right. That's for all of our D group leaders from all campuses. And it's always a really great time. That's where it's very similar in the fact that we're thinking ahead about what's ahead for D groups. And we're talking specifically to those leaders about the vision that we all want to go after together, and sharing that with one another and talking through how we're going to do that in this year ahead.
And as a leader, you want to register for Leader Launch, but you don't want to be late. It starts at 4 o'clock and it goes until 6 for Leader Launch, but don't be late. You want to be in your seats by 4 o'clock at the latest. So if you have kids and you're registering for childcare or getting them into childcare, get them in at 3:45 because you want to be in your seat at 4 o'clock. You're not going to want to miss the beginning of what we're doing for Leader Launch.
Yeah, that's right. If you've been to Leader Launch before, you know what we mean.
That's
right.
You
don't want to miss the beginning
of Leader
Launch.
It's going to be exciting. It's going to be wild. It's going to be fun.
Yep.
And you're not going to want to miss this. You're probably going to want to have your phone out so you can record a little bit too.
So. Maybe so.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm really looking forward to just the whole evening because we're going to just take a couple of hours there where we're all focused together as leaders. And then we'll have food trucks on campus. And
food trucks.
Yeah. And we're encouraging all of our leaders to invite their groups to come and join them, their families to come and join them, come eat dinner up here, and then stick around for the night of worship.
So food trucks are on campus from 5 to 7.
That's right.
Everyone coming to D Group Leader Launch will have a ticket to come to the food trucks, and then invite your D groups to come be a part of this and have food with us and just hang out at the food trucks. And then later that evening at 7, we're having an all-campus worship night.
Mm-hmm.
And our worship team will be leading out and having a giant worship night with all of our campuses here.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I think it'll be a great day.
This is going to be good. Well, part of what we're talking about at Leader Launch, that we will be talking about at Leader Launch, and what we've been talking about on Sunday mornings is kind of hospitality and talking about God being a hospitable God. And what does that look like in our D groups? And how do we break that out, Amy? And so we wanted to have some guests with us today. We have Catherine Mack.
Hi.
Catherine, you have to say it out loud so people can hear you. They don't
Sorry,
hear you nodding.
It was all telepathic. Yeah, I didn't know that didn't come through.
Yep, there you go. And we have Dr. Bill Parkinson.
It is so good to be here. I mean, just being here with you guys, listening to you, motivates me.
And I call him, I've been calling him doctor. I don't know why. He's not a doctor necessarily, but it's just a sign of respect from me to you, Bill.
Well, I feel like everybody has earned a doctorate in something. They just didn't get a sheet of paper.
There you go.
So over time, they've worked hard.
Wisdom, Bill.
They've got an expertise that is recognized by people around them.
Yes.
And so I refer to lots of people as doctor at different times. So thank you for that.
My husband refers to Bill as Yoda.
Yoda.
A wise one.
Yes, Yoda, Obi-Wan. I have several names.
Is it Obi-Wan?
That's who Shelby calls me. Shelby Smith, yeah. Obi-Wan.
Yeah, I'm learning you have lots of nicknames.
I'm not good with my Star Wars characters.
I do have a number of nicknames. We have talked before that I maybe am a multi-generational D group by myself.
What do you mean by that, Bill? Let's talk about that.
I mean, there are some days where I show up and I am kind of in that teenage, early 20s. I'm Billy Bob. And then there are moments or days where I'm in more in that 30 to 45, church is being established. I'm Parky. That's what Bill Wellens used to call me. And I used to call him Welly. He called me Parky. And it was those years where you're really active in ministry and engaged and forming teams. And and then I got to the Sunday where I actually was given the senior pastor hat because I'd turned 50. And I was the oldest guy on staff. And that's Bill. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes Bill shows up. He's a bit more mature. He's got a few years behind him. And then, of course, being in SageWorks now, being a sage, there's William.
Mm-hmm. And William. The wisdom comes from William.
Oh,
yes. It's important to know who you're interacting with.
Yes.
Because
so who's,
all, of
who's
these
with
are,
us today?
All of these are in here.
It's really important to know that. But the good thing is that when I'm a part of a D group, I can provide any generation you need on a given night.
Yeah. Who is here with us right now?
Right now?
Yeah.
I'm feeling a little like Parky.
Mm-hmm. Parky. I'm kind of getting that.
I'm feeling a little of that energy today and right
energy.
In the middle of ministry.
Wow. Well, I hate to break this up, but, you know, we kind of want to talk a little bit about making room for the one and being hospitable. That's what we're here to talk about. Bill and Catherine, you guys led a lunch and learn for our D group leaders back in the spring that was called Making Room for the One. And when we start about thinking about including new people or someone that's different into our D groups, sometimes that can bring some fears or hesitations or challenges to our mind about what that looks like. So we just want to have a little bit of a discussion today about bringing new people or making room for the one in our D groups.
Yeah, I think that people who are in a group are a little concerned about it. We've taken time to develop a cohesiveness, a confidentiality. I feel like I can come here and share my heart. I can be open. I can be transparent. And now you want to add some new people to the group. In fact, we're forming a multi-generational group right now. Ann and I are a part of a team.
There's more than one person in this group.
Yes. It's not just Ann and myself. That's right. No, there are actually multiple people who are in it. And one of the couples who's in it, the guy who is the leader of that marriage, he is real professional. He's very established in the community. And yet we were sitting there talking. He said, if you get more than X number of people in this group, I'll probably shut down. I mean, I need a smaller, more confidential type group. So you see the personalities come out when you start talking about expanding a group. One of the things that we've done to address that in the very beginning in this group is we put together a little covenant statement. And this covenant statement has got some expectations in it that we're all going to talk about together in the beginning. As we invite people to be a part of the group, we'll share it with them. What is the expectation for attendance in a group? What would it be like to be an active member of this group? Confidentiality. Mm-hmm. What is my commitment to keep the things that are shared in this group here? Mm-hmm. What's my expectation about the growth of this group? Mm-hmm. Because right there we have built in that we expect to reach out, evangelize, include more people, and to launch a new group out of this in the future. Mm-hmm. So I think we can eliminate a lot of fears if we share a vision for what the group is going to be like, and everybody buys into that vision as they enter into the group.
Yeah, that's good.
Mm-hmm. That's really good. I was thinking I'd love to have a copy of that maybe we could even provide a copy in our notes.
That's right. That'd be good. We'll put that in the show notes too, a copy of that. So as you guys are talking about D groups, and we all work with D groups around this table here within our church, as you guys talk with D group leaders and talk with people from Fellowship about D groups, what are some of the challenges that people bring up about being more inclusive or bringing new people into a D group?
Yeah, I agree with what Bill said. Our leaders, for the most part, have a heart for people, and they're really being thoughtful a lot of times to the members of the group. And so we see definitely leaders, and I've been in this boat too, just giving preference to the people that are already there.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a good point in doing that. So, you know, they're thinking about the connectedness of the current group. They're thinking about the confidentiality that they've had in a smaller group.
Mm-hmm.
And not wanting to compromise the quality of the group that they have. And so I think what we're saying is we can still care about the group, but we collectively as a church and as groups want to give vision to our members that we can be excited mm-hmm. about maybe neglecting some of that comfort and being people that want to invite even the stranger in and prefer mm-hmm. that person. We've seen really a lot of vision for that with the Espanol campus. Mm-hmm. You'll see from the very beginning, they have conversations about when the new person that you don't recognize walks to the door, make that be the first person that you greet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If we have a meal, let those people go serve their plates first. And so there's a preference for the outside that takes a little bit more courage and a little bit more vision, because that's not ordinarily where we go with our own desire for comfort.
You mentioned confidentiality, and that's a big one that I hear from D group leaders or from people in small groups, confidentiality. If we bring in new people, I lose my ability to be confidential or have a safe place to share with my friends or my community group, my small group. How do we address confidentiality, or how should we be looking at confidentiality within a group, transparency within a group?
Yeah, I think, as we mentioned before, communicating that expectation from the very beginning, and then having a real active, not anything over the top, but there's an active interaction if that confidentiality is breached to where those things are addressed. Mm-hmm. And people ask for forgiveness, people forgive, we move on, but that lesson's learned. I think a lot of people come to our church who don't have experiences in small group settings,
mm-hmm.
and they actually need to be educated to a degree. They need to be a part of an environment like that and experience what that's like, and then begin to adopt the value mm-hmm. of that confidentiality more than the freedom to go out and share about things.
Mm-hmm.
I also think people have a fear around the idea of losing some of those relationships as we grow, mm-hmm. dividing the group.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things they need is a vision for, we're not losing friends, we're expanding the number mm-hmm. of relationships that we have.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that you can structure your group in such a way where you meet together with, let's say you take the group and the group launches another group out of it. Mm-hmm. Every 4 to 6 weeks, you have a meeting together with that group that you launched out. Or maybe the men and the women get together separately on that occasion, mm-hmm. and the guys get to connect again, the women do too. And all of a sudden you feel like, I've got a lot more relationships. My family has grown, but it still mm-hmm. feels like family. I didn't lose those relationships.
Yeah. Let's paint a picture a little bit here. So if you have a new couple coming to your D group or a new person coming to your D group, and as a group, you just kind of collectively close up a little bit, and everyone's kind of nice to that new person or that new couple coming into the group, and you have a real good evening that night, and everyone's kind of cordial. Everyone says hi, but confidentiality-wise or what's going on, the messiness of our lives and how we're struggling to follow Christ or different things like that, we're just kind of closed off a little bit because we don't know that new person. I wonder how that person would feel in comparison to if we invite them into our group and we don't actually hold those things from them. I think that new person might feel more included and more ready to join that community right away as we open up what the gospel looks like in our own lives.
Yeah, and I think it sets the bar for them to say, oh, it's okay to share mm-hmm. these things in this group.
Yeah.
So I think it helps them open up.
That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about some concerns around dividing. Bill, you mentioned that. I think for a long time, we've kind of, myself included, we've had an error in calling multiplying, dividing, or splitting, or something like that. And I think we need to change some of our terminology so that we are talking about multiplication in a positive way, knowing that this is victory. We're not losing anything. This is a victory when we talk about multiplication, because we're opening up to more people to be able to come be a part of our community and be a part of our church.
Yeah. So how are you casting vision with your group for that being the goal as opposed to something that's bad or a negative for the group?
Yeah, I think every one of them have felt, for example, the people in our new multi-generational group, some of them, the core group, they're new to the church themselves in the last year and a half or two.
Mm-hmm.
And so they know what that feels like coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And so the reminder of, what is it like for us to be forming this group right now? How does that encourage you that you're being included? You're part of the foundation of a new group getting together and being a part of something that is expanding opportunities for people to come and to be a part of this. And they begin to feel that.
Mm-hmm.
And even though they like, it's part of human nature almost. You know, it's like, yeah, I wasn't included, and I'm forming a new group now. Now I want my group. I mean, that seems to be the way we function from a very young age.
Mm-hmm. I finally found my people.
My people. Exactly. And so
Bill just pointed at Catherine, and Catherine just slapped Bill on his arm.
What's that all about?
Well,
come on over here.
We're very comfortable with each other.
When you've been working together a few years, this is what happens.
Yeah.
Especially with Billy Bob.
Catherine, how have you seen this play out in Bloom? Because you guys have tried to take some ground this year, just encouraging Bloom leaders to be more open and invite people into Bloom, whether they might be registered or not, whether they may have a spot for childcare or not. How's this played out for you guys?
Yeah, well, we've started seeing people showing up that were invited like the night before. Mm-hmm. I think there was a culture of, you know, if someone met someone out on the playground with kids, wanting to make sure that was okay with their group leaders. But now that we've really moved to, I feel like everyone really being on board with wanting to be a really welcoming place to land as a church. As we've kind of developed that culture, I think we all just understand, like, our doors are open, period. Our groups are open, period. Our groups might get to be different sizes and they're not all even. That does not matter as much as that one person coming in. Feeling comfortable. And so we've seen a lot more people coming mid-year that, you know, met someone the day before.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's been a really good change, because one story of someone getting in the door here quickly, that impacts the feel of our whole church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we train new D group leaders in our D group leader training that every group should always be open to organic growth, meaning anybody in the group should always feel the freedom to invite somebody. So whether you're at work and you're talking with somebody, and I use the example, like, if you're praying for somebody and you're talking to your coworker, hey, I've been praying for you, and by the way, my D group has been praying for you too in this situation with your spouse or with your kids. Why don't we just take the next step and say, hey, why don't you come visit the people that have been praying for you? Come visit our D group one night and be a part of this with us so that you can see the people that are praying for you. Mm-hmm. Just being open about
that. I love the picture too that I think we share this in the leader training, of having an empty chair at your D group meeting, just as that visual reminder for everyone that we always have an empty chair here ready for whoever you might bring. Mm-hmm. And it's just, that's a good reminder to be thinking about, who might I bring?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and our group, as we're putting it together, it really is growing along those relational lines.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the couples went through new members class and they met some people in there. And they were going, gosh, I wonder where I'm going to land, what kind of a group I can be a part of. And so this couple invited them and two single women to come and be a part of our group. And they were excited because they already had a relationship with this couple. Mm-hmm. And then Ann and I have a relationship with a gal who has led here in our church in the past. And she's between groups and said, you know, I'm feeling in this season, it's not time for me to lead right now, but I would love to be in a place where I've got a great opportunity to grow and great relationships. And so she's going to come and be a part of our upper end of our multi-generational group.
That's awesome.
But it's flowing out of relationships. Another girl in the group, she's serving in our midweek women's group. And she had one of her leaders come up and say, we're not in a group, and my husband would love to be in one. Can we come be a part of that?
That's right. That's the easiest way to get people into groups, into D groups here at Fellowship, is just by extending that invitation personally from one person to another. We, as pastors, we work all the time to help people connect with groups. But the easiest way is when people in our church are just making that invitation as you see people and interact with people who aren't in groups. Hey, come be a part of my group. Catherine, why don't you share a little bit about what it was like when you and BJ were trying to get into a group one time, and you guys just had a little bit of difficulty.
Yeah, it's really funny because that group, really a lot of those people are some of our very best friends now. So I can vouch for the fact that these people have hearts of gold.
That's right.
Really, there was just a culture that we were all trying to figure out. Mm-hmm. But we saw this group of people that we thought, you know, we want to spend more time with them. We'd love to be in group with them. BJ and I talked about it, and we went to one of the couples and said, we would love to be in your group. We don't know if there's, you know, if there's room or if you're already too full. And, you know, like we were saying before, they were thinking, well, I want to be respectful of our current group. So they went to the leaders of the group and, you know, said, I guess, can Catherine and BJ be in our group? And then Bill's shaking his head. Billy Bob. anyway, they asked the leaders, can they be in our group? And the leaders, realizing probably the group was to a really comfortable point, said, well, let's throw it out to the whole group. And so maybe it was a couple more weeks later, their group got together and the leader said, what do we think about Catherine and BJ being in the group? And then we'll give y'all maybe a week to think about it or, you know, whatever. So then everybody was fine. Then the leaders went back to the members. Then the members came to us and said, yes, you can be in the group. But literally, I remember thinking in the meantime, like, are they trying to figure out how to tell us no in a really nice way or something? Like, they don't want us to be in the group. And I would say, BJ, have you heard? And he was like, no, have you heard? No, we haven't heard anything. So anyway, they totally wanted us to be in their group. They liked us. But they were, again, preferring the inside, the comfort level of the people that were already in the group. So here we are. We've been at church here for a long time. We'd been here for, you know, a decade or more before that point, and we felt a little insecure about it. So that really, you know, convicted us to think about the people who aren't connected here at all. Like, that would have felt really hard. And it was not anyone's heart being malicious or trying to keep people out. It was just that preference for the inside that we don't realize can have a real effect on the outside or the newcomer or the person trying to get plugged in.
Yeah, we don't want someone who's new in our church to feel that kind of struggle about getting into a group.
Yeah.
We want groups to be open and ready to receive them when they want to be in a group. So what kind of advantages do you guys see or have you seen from groups that are more inclusive or ready to make room for the one?
Yeah, one thing I see is that as you expand your group and you include new people, I think you feel more and more of the heart of God because God sees the need in people's lives. He sees the void that they have there.
And as we're studying on Sundays, we see that God is hospitable, right?
Yes, absolutely. We're hearing that. Mm-hmm. And then you reach out to someone and they come into your group and they start sharing about how they've been praying for this or how they've been longing to be a part of the church, a part of a small group that they can belong to and have that biblical fellowship with. And so it expands your vision of how many more people are there out there like that. Mm-hmm. It's so easy for us to be comfortable in our own setting and not realize how great the need is out there. So as you include someone, it's like that living illustration in your midst of there are so many more people like this out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But painting that vision, like you said, is so important. Like, from a really practical standpoint, I think we all have a certain amount of room in our homes. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that's what makes it comfortable. But then that's also what can make it uncomfortable when it mm-hmm. gets too full. And so
you're talking about the physical number of bodies in your house.
The physical number yeah. of bodies, like, can get to be too much. And so literally, I've had to have vision for this because everyone can see, like, if you keep saying yes and you keep, you know, inviting people in, that you're going to get to a physical limit in your house. Dan, I always call Dan the model D group leader because he's given this vision of really practically how to do this. But I needed to hear, like, really, if you have this vision from the very beginning that what might happen as we continue to be hospitable and invitational is we're going to have too many bodies mm-hmm. for this amount of space. And so, but luckily, a lot of us have homes or apartments mm-hmm. or places to go in this group. And so what if we started thinking now about another house to open up and we start raising up leaders mm-hmm. that have similar hearts now mm-hmm. knowing that we can do this.
Starting to identify mm-hmm. other leaders or co-leaders as we go.
I just had a couple call me on Friday. And they said, you know, we're a part of a group and it's been great for us and it's continued to grow. And it's gotten to the size now where we're realizing, you know, we're fairly mature believers. Mm-hmm. And this group has gotten to a size where, I mean, needs are being met here and it's great. But some of us need to step out of this group and take on another group. So mm-hmm. we're calling saying there are two of us as couples who are going to team together. And we want to know, is there a young marriage group that needs a leader? Is there one forming here in the next mm-hmm. month or 3 months or whatever? We just want you to know we're ready to step out. But it's almost like the growth of the group and the group allowing that mm-hmm. gave them a vision for, you know, maybe we need to step out and take what we've experienced to some other folks who haven't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the first time that my D group went to multiply, my wife and I, Emily, we were scared to death. And we were scared because we were afraid we were going to lose some of the friendships that we had. We had made some really good friends. We'd had some really fun experiences, really good experiences, built some really strong relationships. And as God was pushing us, encouraging us to multiply and to make two groups out of this one group, we were nervous about losing those friendships. But what I learned in the process was that we didn't lose friendships. We gained a lot more. We made room so that we could know more people in our church. Some new people came into our D group. Some new people came into the other D groups. And one of the couples that went to the other multiplying group, they eventually moved back to Dallas where they're from. But I just got some emails and some communication with them last week talking about how he was baptized in his church last week and just the excitement around that. So we never lost those friendships. They actually have gotten stronger and we've been able to visit and different things like that.
Mm-hmm. I think that's so good. I think one of the things too that I would just want to encourage is if you're listening to this and you maybe have questions about how to make this a reality in your group, we would love to visit with you about that. Mm-hmm. We'd love to talk more about it because we're kind of living in this world every day, talking about it, thinking about it. We've seen examples of how people are doing this really well, and we'd love to share those with you. So mm-hmm. whether you're a leader or even a group member and you just say, oh, I really understand what you're talking about there, and I have a heart for that, but we're not there right now. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about it. We would love that.
That's really good, Amy. And, you know, as we continue in this series on Sundays around being hospitable, studying about a God who's been hospitable to us and how we can demonstrate his image by being hospitable to others, let's continue to have these conversations. Mm-hmm. Reach out to some of your pastors or some of your D group leaders, and let's have these conversations in our D group. Let's reach out to where we're a little bit uncomfortable and start having these conversations or inviting people that we're uncomfortable with. I was talking with a lady on Sunday who said when the passage was read from Rosaria Butterfield's book, talking about we have to get past ourselves, and Rosaria had to get past the cat hair and the macaroni and cheese. Mm. She said that God used that line to show her that it's time for her to open up and become a D group leader and get past herself a little bit in that and open those doors. So let's continue to pray for our church and continue to pray for different situations that we can be a hospitable church, that we can make room for the one, and that we can be more inclusive for people in our D groups.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Amy, we have leader launch on Sunday.
Don't forget about leader launch.
Don't forget about night of worship. Don't forget about Vision Sunday. It's a Sunday packed full
with food trucks.
Lots of exciting things. Food truck. I'm thinking about a barbecue sandwich right now from a food truck. That's what I'm thinking about.
We will have a barbecue in there.
Barbecue.
Yep.
La Pops.
I don't know who all the trucks are.
La Pops, you're invited. If you're listening to this podcast, you're invited to come. Come on over to Fellowship's campus.
The Martha Fitzgerald here at the church has relationships with lots of the food trucks. She's going to make sure the great ones are here.
That's right. Well, Fellowship, thank you for listening to the podcast again today. Thank you for listening to Fellowship Talks. It's been good to be with you. And until next time, I'm Dan.
And I'm Amy.
For As You Go, this is Fellowship Talks.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Fellowship Talks. We hope this podcast will help you be a more effective disciple of Jesus Christ as you love God and you love others in your daily context. Fellowship Bible Church exists to make disciples who live by God's grace and for His glory at home and across the world.